Dr. Rock's radio show. Thursday 9 p.m. to midnight on peoplesinternetradio.com. We go to 11.
Well, good evening and a very warm welcome one and all to Dr. Rock's radio show on peoplesinternetradio.com, where we are seeking solutions. And we kicked off there with a Motorhead track, which came from last year, 2015, album called Bad Magic. I can imagine what Lemmy was probably going through at that point, and the tune was called Victory or Die, which I think is pretty much where we appear to be at this moment in time. Alabama 3 woke up this morning, got myself a gun. I can imagine that there's more and more people waking up each morning wondering whether that might be a valid alternative, which of course it isn't. Great tune though. And then George Thorogood and the Destroyers, Born to Be Bad, which some would have us believe is what we're supposed to be. Anyway, I'm coming to you live from Glasgow tonight. We're in the home of Main Admin, so we're on our absolutely best behaviour. Locals very friendly up here on the other side of what is laughingly called a border, and it's really, really great to be here. And it's also great to have Pat Veldon on the line with me. Patty, coming through loud and clear, sir.
All right, magic, man. Good.
Brilliant.
Pleasure to be with you, Doc. Sorry I couldn't make it, but Rems and Bricks, man. That's the way it was.
Yeah, the plan was that we were actually going to be sharing a room, we'd be able to eyeball and stuff, but that didn't turn out, as things don't occasionally. But it's great to have you here on the Skype anyway.
Yeah, it's no problem. No problem.
Hopefully get a chance to catch up with you in the physical before I disappear back down south again. And unfortunately, Robert couldn't make us either because he's having trouble with his back, you say?
Yeah. He's been suffering with it for 3 or 4 days now, but reached the stage of the day where he could. I just think he just couldn't make it, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's the way it goes. I understand bad backs. I also understand not being able to make it. You know, you can't tell what's going to happen next most of the time, can you?
Yeah, that's right. You've just got it on with him, haven't you? Yeah. Simple as that. I mean, Robert basically has stressed himself out all over, man. You know what I mean? Just doing different things and things catching up with him and whatnot, you know. So it's the wee rest of doing the world of good.
Yeah, indeed. Well, it's like what he's doing is sort of developing around him, isn't it? He hasn't managed to put any of this stuff to bed yet, and more things are raising their heads as he goes along.
Oh, yeah, that's right, but it's coming. It's coming. I mean, the way he's starting now, claims will begin shortly, you know, and that'll make a difference, you know.
It is really going to be interesting to see how it plays out, isn't it? Because ultimately, it's the only way to go, isn't it? In the situation that we're in, it's necessary for...
It's the only way to go, because at the end of the day, right, when you're claiming the man has got to pay up or he's dishonourable, and that is a bad error. You get me?
Yeah.
That is a really, really bad error, because the man can't go anywhere. Man or woman, it makes no difference who it is, you know what I mean? They're proven to be dishonourable, that'll stick to them or glue them in.
And of course that's exactly what's going on, and simply by...
That's the whole reason that they've invented this thing with escape plan here of no liability. That's the reason that they've done that.
Of course, the liability was always there, wasn't it?
Aye, of course it was always there. It's always been there since the first crack this thing ever made. It's always been there.
The only difference now is that the indemnity at a kind of at the next level up at the corporate level has been removed. But the indemnity was never actually there if you knew how to bring it home.
That's right. And yeah. If we'd have known this 4 or 5 years ago, that would have been brought out then, but it wasn't here then, you know. But
look,
at the end of the day, things grow, you know what I mean, and that's basically what's happened with Robert, myself and a few other people, you know, that you get in there and you just do it, because when you hit them with the stark razor edge facts, who the hell are you? Who are you to have authority over me? Doesn't work. Because I can't answer you.
Do you think, I mean, it must be a really, quite apart from, you know, the robe that you're actually addressing, it must be a very interesting position for the men and women to be put in, because perhaps they've never asked that question before.
The basic thing, Nick, is people have been indoctrinated, right, to offer, what do you call them, homage, right, to judges and so-called, right? That's what it is, because as far as I'm concerned, what I see here, legislation is only another religion, you know, and that's basically the reason that they've got away with us, because that's what they've done.
Yeah.
And yeah, they people see. Are all raised there, you know, but it's wrong, it's totally wrong.
It's a habit of mind as much as anything, isn't it? It is a religion, but it's a habit of mind as well. People, it's very difficult to change. It's well embedded.
It is, because it's been bred into you all your days. Through all sorts of angles and everything. And when you start to take that away, strip it off, then the truth comes to you. You know? You just got to strip it away and let the truth come to you.
You know? Yeah.
So simple as that.
And really, that's essentially a very optimistic message, isn't it? Because it means that, and I totally agree with you as well, that ultimately the resolution of all of this stuff is within us, and only within us, as it turns out.
Yeah, the only resolution to this legal system, right, is sovereignty. I've said it for years and years now, you know what I mean? And I mean it. It is the only resolution to this problem. The only resolution. When people catch on that government, corporation, whatever the hell it is only an excuse, because nobody's taking the liability. Right? Nobody is taking. It doesn't make any difference whether it's insurance, any blessing, anything at all.
Ultimately, it's the man on the street who's having his car and his house nicked and stuff who's carrying the liability,
right.
Innit?
That is exactly true. I mean, the legal guy is out there. He doesn't even own his car. So why the hell is he buying it? Why is he paying for it? You know, it's just no right. No, for a corporation to be sitting there and have a great big number of vehicles on its stock book. No, man, that's no right, you know what I mean? Doesn't work.
And all of that, all of the vehicles at that level are some a part of some higher level financial scam anyway.
Oh, you better believe it. Aye, they're all at it. I mean, there is I would say in the cheapest car that's on the market now, right, there's no worth a third of what they're offering for.
No.
And I don't think that the dearest one on the market is anywhere near the money that they're asking for.
No.
Nowhere.
No, certainly not. You're paying for something else entirely, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something else I've noticed. I don't know whether it's true where you are, but where we are, the police are the police, whatever they are seen to be driving around in Mercedes and BMWs and stuff like that. Whereas when I was younger, they were in Ford Anglias and Morris Thousands and things like that. There was definitely been a change.
Right. Crazy stuff. You know what I mean? Now they're all running about in the best of gear.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, everybody's making lots of money out of that. And everybody's happy, I guess.
Well, put it this way, right? If the bulls are running about in brand new Mercs, right? And the punters out here are buying them for 56 grand upwards, right? How much do they really cost? That's the thing you've got to ask yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. And also tuned to run much more uneconomically than they might easily otherwise be adjusted to do, I'm told, as well. I know you said recently when I was listening to one of your shows, you said where people are, sovereignty is, which I thought was really great. And basically pointed out, I think, that really it's a choice of either exercising the kind of power and rights that we've got or begging for everything that we need, and we really have got to that point, haven't we, like now?
Yeah, well, look at the stocks there and the steps, right, that certain people in England have made, right? They have done great things there, and people leave them alone because of their stance, right? And a lot of people, or they'll try and harass you, and they'll come away with a lot of tricks to try and confuse you, or just even pull you into whatever's going on. You know what I mean? But like Nita there and her man, they were starting to talk. That's horrendous stuff. You know, the people are coming away with their tricks and all that, because that's what they are. They're blasted tricks, and that's all they are.
They
have nothing on their people.
No, no.
Not a thing, you know. But that's how simple that they are, and that's how bad that they will be, you know.
I guess we can only hope that the simplicity in the long run is going to translate itself into some kind of fairly rapid solution, because I think on a very basic level, the whole thing's quite simple. The tricks that are being used to bring about what's going on and the things that need to be done to sort it out are all basically quite simple and straightforward.
Yeah, correct. Well, but if you take it what common law, as simple as it is and as simple as it should be, right, if that was here at the start, right, how come people lost so much? Because the majority of these people out here were never had an education or anything. So how did they lose so much? How did that happen? That just befuddles me just quite a wee bit, you know what I mean?
Well, they've kept populations fairly well on the move, haven't they? There have been large-scale exterminations around the globe, and a lot of populations have been exported over time. And also destroying language. Like, they for decades in Wales, any offspring that was caught speaking Welsh in a school would get a knotted rope across the back of the knuckles and things like that, and lots of Welsh-speaking areas were flooded to make reservoirs and things like that. It was quite a concerted effort. And there's no better way of wiping out a culture than getting rid of the language that expresses it.
That's right. And that's exactly what they did here as well. They've done it everywhere all over this world.
Yeah.
Everywhere all over this world. How many villages, churches, everything have been buried under with the so-called flooded areas, eh? How many people have been buried or lost in that? Very, very many, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
And so much of it is put down to either accident or necessity as well.
Well, for them it'd be necessity. You know? Because they just don't regard their life, our life, to be of any importance at all.
No.
You know, we're only here to pay them, that's it. You know, and most of the policy enforcers out here are helping them to force them for us to pay them. And they don't even know it either.
Which only really leaves us, with only simply the option of dealing with it ourselves as we encounter it.
Sure. The only way it can work, though. That's the only way it can work. People have got to fight their case, because the way I see it, the way I understand it to be, nothing is stronger than a man or woman who knows who they are. Nobody can stand against them, and they know it. No, you can take what Robert does there when he goes into the court and everything. What happens, you know what I mean, when he goes in there, files his papers and everything. Man, they give him a wide berth, you know what I mean?
He must look like a magician.
Oh, you better believe it.
And again, every single individual in there that is encountering him doing the things he's doing is encountering ideas that has never occurred to them to even consider before. Every single one of them.
Oh, you better believe it. And you know, and he lets them know that he's catching on.
Mm.
You know, it does let them know that he comes into play all the time. You know,
there's got to be there's got to be a ripple effect, hasn't there?
Yeah, you better believe it. I mean, there's a few people there, right, who try to kid him on, right? But Robert's got his own way of doing things, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, he certainly has. So
he basically does that. I mean, there's people there who try to tell him one thing, no, that's no right, shouldn't do this or do that. Right? Now they don't do that. Because what they were doing was misdirecting them because they didn't follow their advice.
Mm. And now they know there's no point in doing that.
Yeah. Fair believe it.
And I mean, that I think that's one of the most important things that we keep coming back to in this quest, you know, that we've been sharing for all of these years, is the influence of individuals or the potential influence of individuals cannot be overestimated. One man or one woman, by their action or inaction, can make just vast amounts of difference to everybody.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at what's happening around the world here, right? There's people all over the place, right? There's people in America, everywhere, all over the world. And they're all coming out of here and they're making their own stand. But they're doing it in the right way, using the right language. Right? That is happening everywhere. And that is going to take off. Because these people are going to be listened to because they are winning.
And every single one of them is doing the same as Robert when they're encountering the the system. They also are having their ripple effect.
Yeah, basically. That's exactly what they're doing.
Have you in your, because you've clearly been in and out of court quite a lot, certainly with Robert, and I would guess on other occasions, do you think there's people in there, there must be honest people in the court system, especially I would have thought because the truth is so well hidden. You know, there must be practically nobody in there who actually knows what's going on.
Well, let's put it this way, right? If there's honest people in that system, right, they really care about the people. Why the fuck are they in? Why are they in the job? You know, because the minute you hear it, and you hear all the cake that goes on in it, you know it's a fraud. They're sitting listening to it every day, so how the hell do they not know? You know?
It's very easy to avoid these things. We all know.
Well, it's very easy to avoid them, and it's very easy to come out there and after 50 years or something, served a good career and jailed many and whatever, right? It took many houses, never enough of people to come out there and go, I now ask you for what it is. Very good. Well done on you, eh? Mm. They all know what they're doing. Yeah. I'm right, one of them. Trust me.
Mm. Yeah, I guess that's a fair enough point of view.
You know, I mean, how can they be in a job that basically, the first year you're at law school, right, you're taught that this is a fraud. Not in so many words, but you're taught it's a fraud. Yet everybody keeps going with it. You're trying to tell me that these people are honest.
I'm thinking more about the kind of administrative support, people like the ushers and all that kind of stuff, all the people that are in there who aren't experts in it. I confess that I suspect the judiciary and certainly the lawyers are up to their necks in it, but there must be quite a lot of people supporting it to whom this will all come as a complete surprise.
I'll agree with you that there's a lot of people who, from the security all the way up, think that these people are right. But it's been proved that they're not right. You know? It has been proved.
How widely known do you think that is, you know, outside our circles? That, I mean, obviously, we talk
our
about...
Our circles, I don't think that's widely known at all.
No. Because to us, of course, it's everyday parlance. We know how corrupt it is.
And you've got three men out there who are out there doing this and doing that and claiming this and claiming that, but they've done it all under act and statute, supposedly, right? How does that work? How can they do that in legality and common law and they can't do it in legality and real legislation? Something's not right there, you know what I mean?
Well, one of the conclusions I've reached is that you don't seem to be able to beat the jurisdiction using the jurisdiction.
No, definitely not.
It's like trying to use a hammer to hammer itself.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's like to try to hammer a nail up into thin air.
And I guess you learn very little in the process, really.
You learn nothing. I mean, the whole point, what I've seen in it, right? What I see in the whole court system is it's right, it's going there, what's your name? I'm Jack Mahoney, right? Okay, on you go, mate.
Yeah.
Because whenever you tell them your name, you are now redundant. Does it make any difference whether you argue, you don't argue, or anything? You've answered them. As far as they're concerned, you're the body of the man. You've gave them what they needed. They needed the body of the man to take the blame for this corporation.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was to so many people, by the way, every day.
Yeah.
I mean, take the law on tax, right? How many times do people need to ask, show me where the law is, before these people go, wait a minute here, is there a law on tax? Because the court system doesn't care, they're jailing people day in and day out for it. Mm. So, how does that work?
There's people in prison for non-payment, aren't there, in the States, even though there's demonstrably no law over there either.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's people in the jail for smoking cannabis. How does that work? Who said it was illegal? Or unlawful, put it that way. Right? Who said it? Nobody that I know of. You know? It's all pedology, man. It really is.
And the thing, the trick is to stay out of the kidology, isn't it? Which, of course, is covered eminently well, I think, and has been for a long time on PIR, the business of not submitting jurisdiction to these people. But what Robert's effectively doing is he's actually asserting his position in his own jurisdiction, isn't he?
Yeah, correct. And that's exactly what we should all be doing.
And there isn't any other alternative, and there's no template for it. You've got to learn what it's about.
But get there and teach yourself how to do it.
It's fundamentally a lot easier than most of the other so-called solutions that are on offer, though, isn't it?
Of course it is. You don't have to sit there and study law books and everything to be a genius, do you? At the end of the day, where were all the geniuses? They were the ones who invented this career. Mm. You know? So.
And I think it's really important to bear in mind what the alternatives are at this stage as well, because it's been very much my progress over the last year or so, is to realise that it does literally seem to be down to either us starting to exercise our responsibility, as it were, or just basically, like you say, having to beg for anything that is actually by rights ours anyway.
Mm, that's right.
And so when we're thinking about the sort of work that Robert's doing and the kind of work that's involved in it, it's important, I think, to bear in mind that it seems to me that if ever there was a time when you need to know this stuff and to be able to actually start integrating it into your own life, then that time is now.
Because it's very simple, right? If anybody comes near you at any time now, from anywhere, any direction, who is it that sent them? It's always the corporation. How can the corporation send it? How did the corporation instruct them? How did the corporation interpret its wants when it's got no blasted life? So who makes the claim? That's the simplicity. That's how simple it is.
And by and large, that should send most agents running, shouldn't it?
You better believe it. Yeah, you better believe it. There's not a debt collector or anything out there who can lawfully stand up there and justify their being, you know that? Not one of them. I don't care how many titles I've got or whoever they say there. There's not one of them lawfully can state their case. And that's how simple it is.
And really, that basically, at least in theory, until it's tried, applies to pretty much everything, doesn't it?
Applies to everything. Everything where corporation is, that's where that applies.
So, if we were to, excuse me, if we were to say, manage to just secure for ourselves an imaginary patch of land, as you probably know, I've been talking a fair bit about land rights recently, and how, and inquiries and loads of things, and how deeply stitched up the whole situation is. And it did occur to me that I was wondering whether we might acquire an imaginary patch of land, put a fence around it with a no trespass sign on the gate, and then just run these practices and be able to do what we want to do there, which is basically not cause anybody harm or loss or ruin the appearance of the countryside or anything like that. But it seems to me that there is no other feasible way of doing it. How do you reckon we'd fare if we were to undertake something like that?
I think that's the right way to do it. To me, to be perfectly honest with you, that is the right way to do it. It really is. You know, you've got to laugh at yourself here, right? You hear every day here, right? Guys are coming out there. That's a court order. And they accepted that. And they walked away accepting that. That's crazy, man. You know, how can a court make an order? It's got no life. It can't write. It can't type. It doesn't talk on the phone. So how the hell did it make an order? That's how simple it is.
And yes, because they haven't got an answer to these questions.
That's right, they don't have it. They're just so indoctrinated with their carry on, right? Oh, it's a court order. Who's the court? Who is the Mr. and Mrs. who is the court here? Show me. Nobody can do it. Nobody can do that to you. It's as simple as that.
And nobody is going to turn up who's willing to take liability in their personal capacity for any of the claims that are being made, not under any circumstances, really. So long as you're being truthful and upright, upstanding.
That's right. Well, you put it this way, right? What man or woman in the right mind here, right, would come out of here and defend a claim or even try and rebut it? You tell me who would come out here and do that after they have taken people's houses, taken people's kids, taken everything that people have, their cars, everything, right? You tell me how many people in any of these corporations is going to come out here and say, aye, that was me that done that. Yeah. How many of them is going to do that? Not one that I can think of.
There's so many people involved.
Better believe it. You better believe it. And as far as I'm concerned, that is their weeks.
If it works on one or two of them, because so far we haven't yet seen a kind of successful private prosecution of the man, have we?
It will come, though. It's in the process. Mm. That'll be getting sorted in the next 21 days or something, eh?
Right. Because that could be a serious game-changing moment, really, because at the moment, again, as we so often notice, by and large, people haven't noticed what's going on.
Yep, that's right. Because a lot of people think that it's too simple. They don't see where the difference or the separation between information and simplicity. They don't see that.
Mm.
You know? And I find that for me, sometimes for me, it's a scunner, if you know what I mean, Doc, right? Because I sit and watch it and I have a look at it and I hear people talking about paying tax and I go, do you know what I mean? If you're paying tax, you're a slave, right? So why would you pay a tax to anything? Even suppose it's a sovereign state. Why would you pay a tax here? That means that you're a slave to that state. How can that be? If that's your sovereign state, how the hell can you be a slave? You can't do that. you know. And at the end of the day, where is the law on tax? Where the hell is it?
But it's a very touchy subject, you know. There's a lot of people who seem to really believe that we should be paying tax. They don't really mind whether there's a law or not. And it is one of those things that I guess the, you know, people who don't pay tax are generally regarded as scoundrels, shall we say.
But that's the corporations that do that. That is the corporations that do that. Because who can come at you for money? Money, believe it or not, right? Of your earnings. Think about it. Just really think about it. Who can take money from your earnings without telling you every week, just as a matter of course? Corporations. That is what's taking your money. But it's distributed among a lot of other people. There's a big question mark there, right? I mean, years ago, we went over this when Johnny was on here, and I explained to Johnny that everything, the whole tax thing, is all paid into a consolidated fund. A consolidated fund, man. That is how the tax is collected. Worldwide, by the way, not in every country. Worldwide.
Is it true that it all travels through the Bank of England on the way?
The whole lot of it goes through the Bank of England. The councils keep 10% for their pension fraud. The Bank of England keeps 40% and 50% it goes to VAC. That's it.
The whole lot. Imagine that. All that money.
Billions a year off of people's wages, earnings and commodities. That's what that is. Billions.
And that really robs us of a ton of opportunity. I meet people, as regular listeners know, I meet people all the time who are really amazing in their individual fields. And if they weren't being robbed of all the effort that they're putting in and all of the results of their skills and stuff, they'd probably be doing amazing things. But as it is, every single one of them is practically penniless and fighting just to keep a roof over their head. Just imagine how different it would be if we weren't having all of this stuff taken off us.
Well, think about it, right? With everything that's went on here, right, for hundreds of years, right, and everything that everybody has had out of there, right, they've had fancy houses and different things, right? What is it that they have which they could not have as sovereign men and women?
I think a lot of the people who have such things have actually probably obtained them by making money out of money, which...
out of private money, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Why does the world have a debt? Does the world know it's got a debt?
If everybody paid everybody else, there'd be no money left.
Correct. Because the biggest majority of the money that's out there as debt is usury anyway. It goes up thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds a day just in usury money.
It's where we always end up, isn't it? Out of money.
Aye. But at the end of the day, it's false money anyway. How can you be? How could people be so thick, right? It's to go out there, earn money, right? And they take it out the bank, right? And it comes out there and it's, what's on the paper is a promise to pay. Well, how the hell can they not take your promise to pay when they're giving you it? How can they not do that? How is it that things work in one way and it doesn't work the other?
Are there people out there writing successful promissory notes, do you know? I hear rumours.
Banks do all the time.
Banks do, yeah. I'm wondering if there's any individuals who are actually managing to pull it off, because I know a lot of people have put a lot of effort into it.
Banks do it all the time, but they do it in fraud, because how can a bank cash a cheque? It can't do it. A bank can't cash a cheque. Simple. It really is simple, man. It's so simple, it's unreal.
That's another of the quite staggering challenges of the whole situation, I find, is that A, I think that a lot of the solutions are simple. I think that a lot of the methods are being used to kind of make things not work properly are quite simple as well. And from our point of view, it's really quite obvious in so many ways. But to many people, and indeed to me, even like sort of 20 years or so ago, it's completely invisible. Obvious to some and invisible to others. It's clever, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, look at it from a realistic point of view, right? A realistic point of view, right? People are losing their houses and homes here because they signed an agreement, right? Not a mortgage, an agreement, right? Can anybody show me anybody that got money with full first-hand knowledge of what they were signing for?
Absolutely, positively, definitely, without doubt, not.
Correct. So why the hell are we paying them? Why are we paying these people?
It's card.
That's the question you've got to ask yourself.
It's like a modern card trick, isn't it? It's what computers and stuff have done to card tricks.
Of course it is. It's the simplest thing in the world, man. And that's what they did. They used the simplicity of people years ago. But that simplicity has now caught up with them. We are all not so dumb now that we can't see this. Now we have other attractions. You know what I mean? They want the fancy watches, 24, 26, 30, 50 grand, right? What are they really worth? Bugger all.
No.
What you think it's worth?
It's worth it.
You pay that.
It's worth its weight in kudos, mate.
Yeah, correct. What does it do? It only tells the time, and the time's not even ours. So why the hell are we paying for the fucking thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
ask yourself.
I think there's also the business that we know, don't we? That telling lies is a really complicated business, and that telling one generates another couple, and it all gets very difficult to keep track of. And the kind of lies that have been told on this massive scale, it's amazing it's been held together so long, but when it does come apart, it will come apart probably pretty quickly and pretty thoroughly.
Yeah, very simple. Because they want the land. They're not interested in your home. They want the land that your home sits on.
Which, curiously enough, was never owned by you under the terms of the mortgage anyway, I believe. It's the bricks and mortar, isn't it, that the mortgage covers?
Anywhere near any mortgage that I know about.
No.
They want your land to make it legal for them to steal your property, right? But at the end of the day, who can own the land? Who is the man or woman who can own the land? Tell me. I don't know who can own land. I do not have an iota. Because as far as I'm concerned, every scrap of land that's on this earth belongs to everybody. For when or where you want to use it. Simple.
Well, I mean, along with the money, I guess that the very concept of ownership is one of the things that's driving us into the ground, isn't it? People selling, doing things like selling Colombia's water to the Chinese, for example. I mean, but it does boil all the way down to owning watches and Nikes and whatever else.
It's all nonsense, man. It's the biggest crock of bullshit you'd ever hear in your life.
It's all rental at best, isn't it?
You better believe it. Right? Who can own anything, really? Who can really own anything? Nobody. Because it all come out the ground.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. That's where it all comes from.
We've got a question in the chat box from Liam. He's saying, this consolidated fund, can you document and verify its existence? Where can I see that this operates?
Aye, definitely, anywhere. Just get Google and write down the consolidated fund. You've got plenty of answers for it there. Plenty of them.
Yeah, because it's a legislated body, isn't it? It exists in the legal world, and everything that would be expected of a corporation is available for it online, effectively.
Definitely.
But I don't think it says in there that...
Interesting there, Liam. To be honest with you, you'll find that interesting.
It doesn't say that it all goes to the Vatican in there, though, does it?
It doesn't mention the Vatican anywhere. that's where it goes. You know, there's not a lot of people know about a mobile Annie. You know,
about what? Sorry,
there's not a lot of people know about a mobile Annie. You know,
and what's the
mobile Annie? Is the Vatican Bank?
Is that what it's called?
Well. That's the name. That's the real name. Mobile Annie.
And how old's the Vatican Bank? Do we know?
Well, the Vatican Bank basically is the richest bank in the world, man. But what is it the richest bank of? What is it rich in? It's rich in nothing, because the gold it has belongs to the people. What else of value does it have? Nothing. That's the threat that all these people are under. It's nothing, man. How can the Vatican own anything? It's a corporation, mate.
That's a hell of a it's a hell of a house of cards that's taken like 2,000 years to build.
I know that. I know that. Now, well, 3,000 odd years, I would say, but
yeah.
At the end of the day, it is a very devilish and devious device, you know. And what everybody thinks about religion, sorry to tell you this, but religion is a joke. How can you have a religion that says that a man is your heir and he died on a cross? How is that? How can that be, man? It's not true, folks. It's definitely not true. Nothing's true in any religion, anything at all. There's so much change in history, all throughout time. History has been rewritten so many times. People need to wake up and stand up for who they are, and really stand up for who they really are. Not what or who or what, who they really are.
And that, it's important, isn't it, to bear in mind that the religion thing actually makes some pretty big ripples in the pond, because really so much else that we maybe habitually think about is actually determined by a long relationship with a religious tradition of one sort or another, so that our things that occur in our culture, things, well, I don't know, like Christmas and Easter, but like other things as well, things that occur in our traditions and our education system, our legal system, are all church-oriented entities. And so so the idea that it's not simply a matter of questioning religion, once you really recognise that you've got to do that, you have to recognise pretty quickly that you're questioning all these other institutions as well.
Yeah. Everything that we see on this earth here, right, that's legal, is a lie. Everything. Makes no difference whether it's Polish, not anything. It doesn't make any difference what it is. If it's legal, it's a lie. And if it's a lie, why the hell are they lording it over us? Why don't they just lord it over their own people?
And again, in the situation we find ourselves in, that's really very good news, because it does mean that effectively all of this stuff really genuinely does apply to you only with your consent. But the trick is to recognise that the actual trick there is not handing over your consent.
That's correct. I mean, at the end of the day, what is the law of legality? Simple answer to that is none, because it doesn't become law till you give it your consent.
But as soon as you do give it your consent, and there's a million different ways of doing that, it does become that law.
Yeah, of course it does.
Of course, very quantum. I bet Freeman Jack loves that.
Well, we'll say that it becomes your law, right? But when you duped into believing that's what you think, there lies the pledge of honesty, I think. Right? Were you lied to get that out of you? Or what?
So does that mean that, you know, if you're up to your neck in it, like let's say you had already managed to get your imaginary plot of land and you put a shed up and a polytunnel and you were kind of hanging out there and doing stuff, and we're already kind of like in there and in all sorts of unhealthy dealings with planning authorities and God knows who else, that on realizing that you weren't going to get anywhere and realizing there might be another way, is there a way of backing out of your engagement with the system and adopting more of the kind of the fruits, shall we say, of the sort of wisdom that you've got?
The system only exists if you see it. So simple as that. It only exists if you see it. I mean, at the end of the day, right, if a judge was standing at the end of the street, right, a lawyer comes up, stands a few feet away from him. Policeman comes up, stands a few feet away from him, and they all line up all the way down the street. At the end of the day, they form a queue. Who's dole lining them? They can only be in their own because nobody's got one. Correct?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, I see it. You know? All they're doing is just digging bigger holes with different faces all the time. I know there's a lot of people out there and they're getting retired and they're getting their pensions number. For how long? How long is that going to last? How long is it before you come to realise, right, that at one time we all drew our equity from another source, and that's where it came from? So where are these people drawing their fictitious money from? The same place that you're drawing yours from, that causes your concern.
Well, they're effectively drawing it from the blood of future generations, aren't they? And I guess we're living on that of generations past.
Well, basically, that's what they're doing, what they're doing, the amount of stuff that they're stealing. I mean, they're taking stuff out of the ground here with 450-ton trucks and whatnot. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, we're letting them do that, because it's got to stop. You know, it really has got to stop. Because everything that's built, everything that is built, being built, is being built on our say-so.
It's not as an impossible an idea as it might have seemed 5 years or so ago, because I guess the ability to tackle those bigger problems is going to be developed as we deal with the smaller and more immediate ones, like the ones that Robert's dealing with now, because effectively you're establishing principles that can be generally applied.
Of course it is.
Because even behind the biggest projects, there's men and women wearing fancy clothes.
I would say so. I mean, at the end of the day, right, when when you go out here and meet this head on here, right? If you're standing there talking to a guy, that guy has got two choices to make. Whether to hit you, or whether not to hit you. Right? If he chooses to hit you, very simple. That claim, the verified claim, is on him as long as you have his name and his address. Claim him. Claim him in his own right. He cannot refuse you payment.
And whether, of course, it's always worth bearing in mind that whether or not he hits you does depend to a certain extent on how you behave as well.
Yeah, that's correct. Everything comes down to behaviour. You know, it can be done. People need to teach ourselves how to do it and how to do it correctly.
And it is essential at this stage, really.
Well, I would think so, and to be honest with you, right, I think the way that Robert does things, a few other people around the globe, where they're never so right, I think Robert here has got it right. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's 100% right, but he's still got it right, and he's still willing to learn, and he still studies, and he still comes up with things.
In a way, each step of progress you make simply reveals the next stage of the problem.
Yeah, correct. Mm. Yeah. You know, it's like digging a hole looking for an answer, right? Every bit you go down, you find a different bit to it, you know what I mean? It's as simple as that.
And the closer you look at it, the more of it there is.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And I think, you know, it's the kind of urgency of the thing that's really beginning to strike me, because people are really having the stuffing kicked out of them now. And it seems like we heard on, I think it was on the Raconteurs show a couple of nights ago, there was a couple of ladies on, Donna, it was, and they were talking about how the children had been taken off them and all that kind of stuff, and how people were just breaking into their house and sort of basically, well, you know, gaining entry to the house by whatever means and just doing this, and they seemed to think that there was nothing that could be done to stop them. Now, there was a chat going on in the chat box at the time, and Lee was saying, I think quite rightly, well, they don't have any rights that you don't give them. But then there's people with personal experience of dealing with the Social Security saying it's... you know, it's completely terrifying, and they kind of walk all over you. They just kind of walk all over you. So we hear about bailiffs and policemen who, God knows, are careless enough about the laws that are supposed to regulate them and their entry to properties. But these people seem at least to believe that they can walk in and do what they like. And once again, if people knew how to deal with this, do you think it could be, if not stopped, at least ameliorated?
Aye, of course, aye. But what is the problem in England? What is the problem in England, to be honest? The problem in England is free men.
Do you think so? Do you think it's that much of a major...
Yeah. Mm. I think that the free man ethos in general, right? The free man ethos in general is to blame for a lot of things here, right?
But we've already seen that it doesn't prevent people from coming into houses and stealing children. And
it doesn't. And now how many kinds of laws are in England that come under the head in common law, but all act in statute? How many kinds of laws, right? You had Magna Carta, common law, act and statute. You've got other laws out there, act and statute. Where the hell do they come in to real common law? Because the way that I see common law is that there's no place for any lawyers or judges anywhere in any common law that I know of. Common law is the law of the people. It's not the law of those who want to be something else.
So there's not any room even for real lawyers and judges, let alone the judge impersonators.
Yeah. Lawyers and judges are all lawyers.
Yeah.
They're all makey uppy. They all come out the legal system. There's not one of them out there that's lawful. So they all come out the legal system. So they're all liars.
And they all know it, you say?
Eh?
And they all know it, you reckon?
Yeah, I think so. If you take common law at its very least, right? Common law needed to be simple at the time, because the people that exercised it were as simple as you could get. So where was the sense in having any complication that would work when you're dealing with normal people? It doesn't work, man.
I think a lot of the complication turned up with the money and with the ability to make money out of money.
Well, basically, I would say that happened when the kings and queens were introduced into our system. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
You know? It's a terrible thing. It really is. Anyway, do you want to play a couple of tunes?
Yeah, I think we should play a couple of tunes. I think that's a really good idea. So that's what I'll do. I shall play. Let's see what we've got on here, shall we? I'm going to play... I'm going to play one for Tony. I'm going to play Fudge Knuckle. No Sugar. This is for you. I've got about 10 minutes. I've got about 10 minutes of tunes on, Pat. So we'll be back with you folks sometime a little bit after 10:15. And here's two or three tunes. And you've been listening to the mighty Pat Veldon talking to Dr. Rock on peoplesinternetradio.com. Thanks for being there, Pat. We'll see you in a bit. That was the John Langan Band and Pumpkin Pie. Being as we're in Scotland, good Scottish band there. Amazing how much noise three people can make together. Before that, Status Quo, Break the Rules. Really like that tune. I like Status Quo, although I don't play them a lot. Before that, there was a bit of dead air because you got Dr. Rock on the deck. Sorry about that. I'm trying to juggle my Skype a little bit here, which I'm not used to doing. You are, of course, listening to Dr. Rock's radio show on peoplesinternetradio.com, where we are we're live and kicking with Pat Veldon. Hi, Pat. Welcome back.
How you doing, Doc?
Oh, very good. Thank you very much. Well, we had a bit of a question put in during the break, as it were, by Graham.
Yep.
And I think it's very timely because it's what I'd like to talk about. Can Pat speak about how any man or woman can bring common law into their court system? How can we place a verified claim in their artificial courts, Graham asks. So take it away, Pat.
Very simple. You have a claim to put in front of your court, you put it in your paperwork, not the court's paperwork. It must be in your handwriting. It must be done correctly in your language, and it must all be lowercase, no capital letters whatsoever, not even one, right? It must be done correctly. You must describe things, what you see, and what you have witnessed for you to make that claim. And you must do that honestly and truly. And don't be worrying about the court. It may cost you a few quid. Don't be worrying about the court. When you put that in, you also address the matter that any unlawful acts by any member of court staff will imply the issue of a verified claim. Always remember that. Because real common law has got no place for judges or lawyers. Remember that.
And that's largely because you're doing the job, aren't you?
Yep, that's right. Because who's going to come there to defend? Who's going to do that?
And how do you set about lodging the papers in the court? It's really important that that's done in a timely fashion, isn't it?
Well, no, you can do that at your time. It's your time. All this carry on with putting them in 13, 14, 15, 16, that's all the fucking nonsense, man. Right? You put the papers into the court and you call the court. Simple.
And is it important to continue letting them know what it is that you've got in mind?
Yes, and it's very simple. I, a man or a woman, require of you to book this court for me for this day. Simple. It's very, very simple. You know, you've got to do things. You've got to put it in your own words as well.
And presumably you've got to do something with the individual against whom you're bringing the claim as well, do you? What sort of documentation's involved in that?
Well, it's very simple. You can start off the same way. If you have somebody's name, you want to claim them, you put in there, you require the man making the claim to come forward in his private capacity and make that claim in the full light of day, right? Simple.
And why is it that this is such a revolutionary idea? Presumably verified claims have been around, at least in potential, for some time, have they? Has anybody done it before?
No, they haven't.
But really? So this is a new thing?
Never. It's not new, right? But there's never, ever been a verified claim or a verified statement or verified anything in legality. Never, ever been anything. And there's never that knowledge.
You can't verify it when it's fundamentally flawed, can you?
Well, they can't verify it because nobody has the first-hand knowledge.
Right. And no...
What was that? Not the lawyer, not the boss, not the prosecutor, not anybody. None of them can have first-hand knowledge. It's an impossibility.
And it's not possible for anything other than a man or a woman to verify something, and none of them are man or women, men or women in that context.
No, as long as there's the truth, it can't be caught out. So simple as that.
The important thing there is, isn't it, is that when you write your statement of truth in your own handwriting,
yeah,
what you're going to be seeking to establish is substantial differences between either what happened to you and what should have happened, or what happened to you and what the other people are saying happened. Because in Robert's case, what the so-called reliable witnesses, the traffic wardens, are saying is completely different from basically what turns up even on the video. So you're one of the reasons for you're all telling the truth, apart from the fact that you don't want to be challenged, is that that's the thing on which you're going to be working, isn't it?
Well, in Robert's case, you've got to be very, very careful, right, when you see anything to Robert, right? Or do anything in front of Robert, because his memory is photographic. Memory is photographic, and he clocks everything, right? And he remembers every single detail. He's wonderful at what he does. He really is. He gets caught out a couple of times, don't get me wrong, right? But he always recovers from it.
No. In his game, that is a remarkably useful skill to have under your belt, I would have thought.
Oh, you better believe it. Better believe it. Because at the stage he's at now, he'll be getting in there and he'll be taking court in his room. Judges can sit there if they want. They're idle. They can't do nothing. Basically the same way that they do with you once you tell them your name.
Yeah.
So simple.
Yeah. You hired the court, it's your court.
Yeah, correct. You'll be paying for it. They can sit there, they can do it, but they can't do anything because the court is yours.
Yeah. And it's not just the court you have to own, is it? Because I know Robert's approach is very much to say it's my name. It's not their name, and I won't have it confused. So you're still stuck with the name game, aren't you?
Well, you're still stuck with the name game, right? But if you can tell them in any manner that name is not yours and stick by that, there's nothing they can do about it.
This is where it all gets a little bit more difficult, isn't it? Because Robert's very good at giving us, and it may be his photographic memory or whatever that helps him, he's very good at giving us chapter and verse on what was said and what the response was and what he said and what the judge responded to that and all of that. And you've got to have a few more than one round in you, haven't you?
Well, you better believe it.
And that's a really difficult thing maybe for a lot of us to consider, is that part of the actual process, is dealing with a judge who isn't going to really want to deal with you until you prove that you're compos mentis.
Well, that's right. I mean, what Robert does is really, really hard because he's trying to concentrate on where he's going next.
Yeah.
Plus, he's got to try and think ahead of wherever he is at the time, right?
Yeah.
Hello, he will tell you himself. He says there's a lot of times when he comes out of there, he doesn't catch. He only comes out. He only gets it when he comes out of that court. And he goes, wait a minute here, I messed up there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But at the same time, he has presumably moments of blinding inspiration as well. That he... Woo. Once again, I guess it's a game that we've got to consider. We've got to all be able to consider this, have we not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think that everybody's got to consider dealing with a lot of things, but stay in the path of simplicity. You've got to stay in the path of simplicity. Don't be putting complicated answers in there when there's no need for them.
Mm.
It's as simple as that.
I would guess his training as a common law advocate must really be helping in that end of things.
Well, it's not actually his training, it's his common sense.
Yeah.
That actually comes to meet him. If you get my meaning there.
Yeah, no? Yeah.
It actually comes to meet him. It's as simple as that. You know?
And when it comes to the name thing, he seems to make quite a lot of use of the birth certificate. Does he always have it with him and actually lodge that with the court as well to prove that he's different from it?
Or he's already lodged the court, told him it's a document, a fraudulent document. He's already said that because everybody that's born is given a name by their mother. Is that correct?
Yes, at least in theory, if it's not by grandma.
Right, okay. But basically, everybody is given their name by mother, right? So that's a family name, right? But to keep you separate from the minions or others out there, as you would say, right? You put, right, okay, what's your name? My name is Robert of the Sproul family. I am the man Robert. He has stayed my case. That's it, done.
And the birth certificate's in there as a kind of backup for that. And he writes,
you don't even need to go back to the birth certificate because you've already rescinded that. That's a Crown copyright document. That's got nothing to do with you.
Okay. So you rescind that verbally in the court as well, rather than as a process separate from it.
Well, you can once you get to the right terminology. Eh?
Yeah.
You know, but at the end of the day, it's a fraudulent document because they've copyrighted your name, not the other way around.
Yeah, but I guess it's a thing. It sounds to me, from Robert's experience, like it's a thing that you yourself have to establish once you're in that.
Yeah, correct.
Because, of course, basically, one of the things that the soundest piece of advice I've heard is that the best thing to do is stay away from courts. But if we're thinking about private claims by individuals against other individuals, then we're likely to be seeing a lot more of us trying to make a go of it in there.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, right, if people want to get in and fight their own case, right, which not everybody has the capability, by the way, right, you know, but if people want to get in there and fight their own case, they need to know what they're doing. The other way you can deal with it is deal with it by letter on. If you're happy with it, deal with it.
Oh, that was going to be something I was going to ask you, because, again, I have heard that, I know Simon Spaniard speaks a lot about avoiding court by basically using administrative techniques, i.e. all letters and phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do this that way as well, can you? How would that run?
You can do everything in common law because they can't question you. They cannot question you at all on anything to do with common law. That's why they keep telling you that there's no common law.
Mm. So how would you make a claim against these people by letter then?
Me?
Yeah.
Basically, I would just write it out. Because I would have the name and address on the right-hand side. And I would have their name and address on the left-hand side, sorry, and mine on the right-hand side, right?
Yep.
Then I would just put, I, a man, require you, whoever it is, to come forward and repeat the claim, whatever the claim is, right? And anything at all, right? It's always I require. Never I request. Always I require.
One of those specially powerful magic words.
Yep. You've got to be precise in what you're doing. It doesn't have to be difficult. You only have to think about it a wee bit and it'll come to you. Don't be using words like or anything like that. Don't be using that. Keep it simple and keep it right.
Robert was talking about producing a dictionary of kind of legalese terms that he thought it might be useful for us to know about or avoid. Do you know if he's found a moment for working towards that?
Well, I don't know if you need it or not. You know, I mean, if you can think logically and not use the common legalese words of at different things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You get me? You don't use it. You stay away from them. You know?
And that would include words like you and me and everything that's not I, in fact.
Well, you don't use you anywhere. You try and leave you out. You is not guaranteed to be in, right? You can only be an I. Simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, when you're sitting there thinking of yourself, what you're going to call yourself, always think Bob Marley. I and I.
Yeah. That was news to me hearing Robert talk about you, but I had heard about, there was another great speaker who I think might well have been on with you as well talking about it, and it never struck me before. And that's really the problem, isn't it, with writing the letters and the legalese thing, because they look just like normal words. It's not possible. We're constantly finding out new ones that are untrustworthy.
That's correct. Yeah, you've got to be very, very careful of what you put in there, right? I mean, at the end of the day, right, you got a letter for your court, right? How can a court write you a letter? How is it? Who taught it right? Who gave it the power to write? Who created it to write? Got to be logical.
So you're effectively dealing with men and women in all aspects. All aspects of the process.
Aye, that's it. They think that you are really, really stupid. You know?
Yeah, people are a bit surprised when you write to them in all lowercase letters, I find. They think you've gone illiterate.
No, they know exactly. When you put a letter to them and it's in all lowercase letters, they know exactly what you're doing. But they'll not address you in your name. What they'll do is they'll come back and hit you with a full title name or have a capital R, a capital O, a capital S, whatever, right? Mm. There'll always be an O. There'll always be a capital at the start of every...
It's great.
New sentence in your name.
It's great that it's called capitalisation, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love these puns they've got built into the whole thing.
Yep. Anything at all. Don't let them capitalise your name anywhere at all. That's your name. It's not their name. And at the end of the day, where is the act? Any act that is anywhere that has your name on it, that says you're responsible for it.
Most of them say reasonable person, don't they, whatever that means.
Well, who's the reasonable person?
That's a very good question.
You know, who is the reasonable person? Wouldn't it be me, would it? At the end of the day, you've got to be able to fight and be able to think on your feet when you're doing these things, you know. Really think on your feet. You've got to be up to the mark here. And if you're not up to the mark, get somebody else to do it. Simple.
Are there other people who will take on that kind of task, do you think?
Well, I think so, aye. I think more so in the future, aye. You know, I think more so in the future, aye, there'll be plenty there to do that.
I guess this is one of the most important things, isn't it, is that as more people learn to do it, it'll be easier for more other people to learn to do it, and you can go and watch and things like that. Is it worth doing that? Is it worth going and observing a master in action?
I would say so. If you can get the right people there, right, go and watch them. They're not hiding anything from them. Go and have a look and watch what they're doing. You'll learn quickly because everything is simple. Everything is simple.
And I guess it's always a good idea to expose yourself to an experience kind of as a third party, if there's any chance at all that in the future you might need to be exposed to it as a litigant of some sort.
Well, I try and avoid it myself, you know, because my kind of temperament usually carries me.
Right, yeah.
Usually gets me carried away when I go to court, you know, but at the end of the day, I suppose it might, you know.
Mm. Yeah, they like you to stay quiet at the back, don't they?
See, at the end of the day, you want to be you, be you. If you don't, why the hell are you in the court? Because you're going to get strung up or whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever they put against you, you are going to get double time. You know?
Yeah.
Simple as that. You know, so you've got to be you all the time. 100%, 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Here we've got a question from Mahat. Hiya, Mahat. He's saying, does Pat or anyone else know if it's actually illegal for a council to put you on the electoral roll without your consent? And if so, can they be threatened with private prosecution if I can get a name?
Yes, of course it is, but your name will never be on the electoral list unless you have an application form. Nobody can put your name on the electoral form.
It's Delamitri's put, not you, Mahat, and Mahat's put in there, my missus too, so it sounds like Mahat and his missus have been put on there perhaps without their knowing consent.
Well, you need, at the end of the day, you need a letter from the electoral so-called commission, whoever the hell that is. But nobody comes up and says that they're Mr. or Mrs. Commission, do they?
No, and who was it in the council that put your name on the list?
Correct. Somebody need to. Hi, Neon.
Hiya, Neon. I wonder if they're doing that to other people. Just, you know.
They're probably doing it to a lot of people because a lot of people sometimes just don't have the wherewithal to think that this whole scam is there and it's not for their pleasure.
Hmm.
You know? It's not for their pleasure. It really is.
Nowhere near. Sheep don't get to vote. Not sheep don't get to influence the situation.
Well, I was always taught from a very young age here, Doc, that shit always falls down the way, not up the way.
Yeah, indeed. Yes, quite so. My hat's put in there. He puts, I want a name so I can prosecute in private capacity. You need a name to be able to do any of this, don't you? Because you want the name of the man or woman that's causing you grief.
You need the name of whoever put your name on there. Mm. Suppose that.
And he's put, Pat, yeah, I checked. We are on the electoral roll, he's put, so... Sounds like there's a bit of skullduggery going on there to me.
Well, it looks like it to me, or somebody's filled in something they shouldn't have.
That surprised me if Mahat or his missus had done that. Have you been filling in forms, Mahat? You've been getting up in the dead of night and doing a bit of legal stuff. Because if that is happening, it'd be worth knowing about it, wouldn't it? And I guess, presumably, they...
See, at the end of the day, nobody would put my name on it, I'll tell you that right now. Because I don't even follow blast things in.
No, but if, however, because you see, nowadays, they've got these huge combined databases, haven't they? Nowadays, they can deduce information about people and decide they're going to do something and then just do it. It might be interesting just to check, being as, you know, presumably your name and your straw party's name and location are well known. It might be interesting just to get somebody to inquire to see whether your name has popped up on it, because you might not know, might you?
Well, why would you even bother going near the electoral roll to start with, right? Because all they really need the electoral roll is for is to record your vote, right? And if the legal name is theirs, then the legal vote is theirs.
Yeah.
So why the hell are you bothering me? Got to be realistic.
I certainly don't. My basic approach is to have as little to do with them as at all possible now.
Nothing to do with it at all. Nothing at all. Nothing to do with it. They can't keep putting people's names on it and then people not voting. They can't keep doing that.
Do they get money for having people on the electoral roll?
No. What they do is when... What happens when the electoral roll comes up, right? They take the responsibility of using your vote because you've registered your vote as a child.
Right? So you're kind of putting it into a block vote system.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you're there as a child who does not know or understand the responsibilities of their own self-behaviour, right?
And your actions display that is in fact the case.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they use your vote against you. I mean, when you go to a polling station, say, right, and it goes, right, okay, there's five names there, put an X or whatever you want to do there, right, any one of them, right? Can anybody tell me if they've ever had anything that's ever changed in policy or anything, in anything that they've ever done in voting?
Quite the contrary. That was one of my earliest recognitions, was that absolutely nothing of which I could even vaguely approve was being done by anybody that I could see on the public stage, and that at no stage did they ever achieve any of the things that they set out to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, I mean, if any of the rest of us were working to that kind of standard, then nobody would be giving us any work or any support at all.
Correct.
So what the hell do we think we're doing?
That's right. So why the hell... do we need the government? You know what I mean? Why the hell do we need government? No need for it.
No, like I say, the government doesn't. The government doesn't organise the feeding of Birmingham and London or all manner of other things that actually work tolerably well.
It can't feed anybody. Can't nurture anybody. Can't do anything. Totally dead. Simple as that.
I'll tell you, one of the things that did surprise me about one of Robert's tales was that he was shocked when his sister's lawyer, who she steadfastly refused to get rid of as far as I can tell, when his sister's lawyer actually did some batted against the home team at the end of it all, and I don't know, what did he do, recommended it back to a children's board or something. I was surprised that he was surprised.
No, he was waiting on him doing it because...
Was he, right? My misinterpretation.
Right. He was waiting on him coming away with it because he knew that he could not be trusted. Right? And for anybody out there that goes into a court with a lawyer, regardless of who the lawyer is, whether you know him, whether you don't know him, right? You go into that court with a lawyer, you have sold yourself to the devil. They are on the side of the prosecution, not in to do with you. You get in that court, everybody in that court is against you. Simple. That's how simple it is.
So
okay, there's some people getting there, maybe have a wee legal question, a wee argument, and somebody will come out and go, oh, well, I won that, I got away with that, it's good. Keep it up, you'll pay. You know, really simple. No. Because nobody beats the system.
Mm. Well, that explains another thing to me, because whilst I realise that all the lawyers are working for the system, they've got several layers of oaths that tie them into that, and the individual that's supposedly paying them is several notches down the list, shall we say. And I know that Robert was saying that... I know that he felt that the very presence of the lawyer made it impossible for him to do what he wanted to do.
That's right. Because At one time, Robert was letting a couple of lawyers do a wee bit of the shoveling, right?
Yeah.
And he was doing that to let them bring his father and that up, right? Anyway, no, I had it here. Then he pulled the cap off him, right? But there'll be things there because a couple of these people won't be getting claimed, I think, anyway, at least, you know, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
That's Robert's decision, you know. Yeah. But we'll wait and see about it. But there's other things going on there where Robert will know what things lie, folks, right? And the other thing to keep in mind is never be in a hurry to take a claim against anybody. Not in common law. Fraud is always fraud in common law. You can take that claim now, 5 years from now, whenever you like, not when they would like you to. Simple as that.
There's no limitation on it.
No limitation at all. No limitation. There's no statute of limitations on fraud in common law. None whatsoever.
I guess in a way that's quite convenient, because given the all-round fraudulent nature of the system, almost everybody you come in contact with is going to be potentially the subject of one of these verified claims. So I guess it's a matter of cherry picking.
Yeah, of course it is. When you make a verified claim, that's your claim. That's how big it is. It's your claim. It doesn't belong to the court. It doesn't belong to anybody in there. It's not for them to make money off it. That's your claim. And it's up to you what you put on it, what you think it's worth to you.
Even that must be setting ripples running through the judicial system, I would have thought. Even the fact that people want to hire courts and come and do this.
Yeah, well, they'll tell you here, right, that you can only make a claim here in the High Court, right? That's a load of nonsense. You can make a claim in any court, right? But here you can take it to the High Court. And that's supposed to frighten the shit out of the people who are getting it.
Is that the only advantage to go into the High Court?
It's a lot more advantageous for you, put it that way. You know? It really is.
Why? How do you get to benefit from going to a bigger, badder place?
Because basically, you're at the High Court, right? The judges are going to be the High Court. But the judges can't do anything. Because if you do your paperwork correctly, that court is yours. And everybody else is only spectators.
Which forces them to actually play the role that they're supposed to be playing in there. You're actually turning it into a real court then, are you?
Correct.
Right.
Correct. That's exactly what you're
doing. As if by magic.
Yeah. And that's why you don't need all these grand jury things either. You don't need them. Where'd the grand jury come from? America? Never had grand juries here.
Didn't we? Oh, that's news to me. I thought we did.
No, they were never, well, if they did, they were never called grand juries.
Right.
You know? There's nothing here. I mean, that to me is active statute. The law that they're using there is act of statute. That's not common law. People need to understand that. That's not common law.
And the reason why...
People who will go in there and tell you that Magna Carta is still alive.
Yeah.
You get me?
Yeah.
Magna Carta has been dead for a year and a half now. Maybe more.
Do you think it was useful before that?
Well, it was never any use because it wasn't. I mean, it was written on an island, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It was written there to be exactly what it was.
And it was
crock.
And it was signed under coercion and threats of force.
Aye, of course it was. That was for the barons. That was never for the people.
Mm.
Same as everyone else had done here. You know, everyone that they've done here as well.
And I guess the reason why you don't need a jury is because basically it's you sorting it out man to man.
You can sort it man to man. You know, you really can. or you can order a jury trial. Simple.
Mm. Oh, you can do that too, and can you demand a jury of your peers, you know, actually people who know you?
Yes, of course we can, as long as it's not a jury of 12 judges for another judge.
Right. Yeah, sure, that's going to happen.
I don't think that would happen, would it?
No, I don't think so. Oh, so should we play another couple of tunes?
Aye, why not?
Are you happy to play on? You still all right down there?
I'm all right, mate.
Brilliant. Well, we'll bang a couple of tunes on for the people. I'm actually all a bit slower tonight because I haven't got the mic stand wouldn't fit into the suitcase, so I'm having to hold my microphone, which makes it all a bit more tricky. Even more of a trapeze and juggling act than normal. Brilliant. Well, thanks for that, Pat. We'll stick on what looks like it's 5 or 6 minutes worth of music. And then come back for the last little stretch before I go and join the party in the sitting room. I can hear them all chattering away. I don't think they're paying any attention at all. I'm coming through right now, folks, so I expect I'll be asking questions. Okay. Here's the... Brilliant. Okay, then, Pat, I'll bung on the Stranglers. Be with you shortly, matey. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
So here it is. Here's the Stranglers and a Kink song. All Day and All of the Night, I think, which is a song which, over their career, personally, they really made their own. Here it is for you. We'll be back with you, me and Pat, in 6 or 7 minutes or so, if all goes according to plan.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.
And that was another Kinks tune. That was Come Dancing, one of my favourites. Really sweet little tune, but I really, really like it. And before that, the other Kinks tune by the Stranglers, All Day and All of the Night. And now we're back with Pat Velden. Welcome back, Pat.
Welcome back. Well, nice talk,
man. Seconds away, round three, matey. You're playing well. One of the things that I remember you saying in the last show you did with Robert is something along the lines of that the system's never going to recognise anything that threatens its own security.
Never.
Well, are we not reaching something of an interesting impact point here where it's all going to be forced to recognise something that's a menace to its own security?
Well, it's already being forced into a situation, right? How many people in England do you know, right, that are aware that HMRC, right, is going to offer Scotland its own tax system?
I think it was Sky News here today, that was, and they've decided to keep their taxes in line with the UK for the next year, apparently. It's good of them, isn't it?
Right, well, how many people know that legally, what these people are doing, prosecuting us with the laws they have, right at this moment, are not effective?
I thought that must be pretty... That must be pretty clear to all but the crazy and terminally distracted, I would have thought.
Well, as I said before here, Doc, right, a year passed, November 2014 now, right, I think it was November, I'm not really sure, right, the legal sovereignty was passed from the City of London to the people in Europe. That was a year passed, right? Where has the Queen been for the last year?
She's been
heard anything of her for the last year other than pages or photographs or anything like that, right? Has anybody ever seen her? No? What happened to all the royals? Where have they been? They've all been out in the Caribbean giving a big lecture to the so-called slaves. Well, if there's no queen here, how can there be a queen out there? Do people aware of these things? Or do they just blindly accept everything that comes out of here?
Unfortunately, I know which one of those two I'd plump for. I know you said as part of the move of the sovereignty from the City of London to Europe, the judicial system was proving more reluctant to put people through magistrates' courts. Why do you think that's happening?
Well, that's to bring them more into line with what's happening in Europe. Why is nobody using the Supreme Court? Or very few? Why is that?
It's quite a struggle to get up there, isn't it?
Well, at the end of the day, the Supreme Court is Europe in this country. That's the truth.
That's the one that let the banks off. It seems.
Correct.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, right, we're actually governed now by the Napoleonic laws. That's what they're telling us.
Which means that everything that is not specifically permitted is prohibited.
Correct. Well, so but they're not making it that noticeable. They're still going in there and they're still dealing with the old Act and Statute stuff. Why are they doing that? The reason for that is because they were all told that we were only signing up to the European thing that Edward Heath had sorted, right?
Yeah, just a trading community.
Yeah. That was a lie to the whole of the people of Britain. And this thing here was splitting away from Scotland, Ireland, Wales, and Cornwall is all the same.
So you think they're a bit worried about revealing to the populace that a judicial system that they never understood the first thing about has changed? Do you think they're concerned about making that public?
Yeah, I think they really are. Because that writes the whole... anybody that's got a clue about law here, right, or anybody that follows it, should know that that's not right. You know? If Napoleonic law is here, and sovereignty was surrendered on the 1st of October. The 1st of November, right? If that was surrendered on the 1st of November, why the hell are we running English law instead of Napoleonic law? Why is that?
Do you think it's because they quite often tend to like to introduce things and let them run for 3 or 5 or maybe 10 years before actually applying the screws?
No, I think actually the motu proprio that came out moved them on a wee bit, correct?
Yeah.
Because the corruption, the Vatican couldn't stand much more of the corruption because it was affecting them, right? So I had to be terminated.
The shit heap's got so big it's actually reached the top.
Aye, they're backwards again, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it really is that simple.
And I guess in amongst it as well, something else I think that needs to be kept at the forefront, which is not a place that it habitually is, is the fact that in amongst all of this, there's a lot of people following a lot of orders, and it's important to understand who it is that's culpable, isn't it? We talk about it a lot here.
Yeah, it really is. It's got to be the culpable person. There's no point in naming any of them. We'll put this one in here again, so they're right. I mean,
so you're in, which means
there's nothing in common law that's UCC that you've got to remember. UCC has not anything to do with common law. It's as simple as that, folks.
Which is just as well for all of us, because that's a very complicated thing, that is.
it is, right, because it's got fractions of common law in it and fractions of legality and different things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's got the old laws and everything in there as well. You know, it's a nightmare if you don't know what you're doing. You know?
Yeah, you've seen that Graham's put in there, ask Pat, if you claim a man or a woman, what court would you claim them in? It's all UCC. But they're not actually...
Claim them in the High Court, then you can't go wrong.
Yeah. Actually, that's another thing I thought might be worth just having a quick chat about, was the fact that it is an administrative court, just exactly what the difference is between these administrative courts and the court of record that we seem to be expecting.
Well, all you do is put your paperwork in, they'll issue you a court number. Right? They'll issue you a court number and you just take that court and you deal with them now. You're only going to be in it yourself anyway. Nobody's going to come and try and verify a claim over you, are they?
Doesn't sound like it, no.
I don't think so.
And obviously this business of claiming to be a man or a woman, that's going to be every time you encounter any of these people, because they're always going to try and do the other thing, aren't they?
That's right, but you've always got to remember, right, but you're booking that court is yours. That's not there for judges or lawyers. I don't care who they are, what the hell they call themselves in the court, that court is yours. And when that guy does not turn up, you have your verified claim.
Yeah.
And you've registered. Simple.
Yeah. And this, the business of the motu proprio actually removing the protection that these people all believe they had, and indeed they did have whilst we were not aware of the way it works, it's likely in the long run to make quite a lot of difference. I mean, are we seeing any signs of it doing its job?
Well, it did its job for the Vatican. It made a lot of money, didn't it? Who owns all the insurance companies?
Really, they're paying out in insurance on all this nonsense.
Aye. No, I mean, it's as simple as that. You know, it really is. Things are simple if you take the time and have a look at it.
But it does mean that effectively, it would appear at least, that the entire edifice is being taken apart from the inside out, as well as from the bottom up.
That's why they're coming to crack now with a Napoleonic law. You'll do what they tell you.
Mm.
Not, I'm afraid, here.
And where does that leave us with Robert's approach? You know, if they're changing us from the
I can't change you. How can they change you? Whatever people are, that's for common law. So how the hell can they change you?
So they can really do what they like with the Napoleonic law or any other sort of law, and it doesn't make any fun.
They like with anything. They can put it on and make it look like a fluffy thing that shows or something. They can't take your common law with you. It's inherent. What about legality is inherent? Nothing.
So it's in fact only if you're in the habit of recognition, which of course most of us are, that anything's going to change. Because if you're going to recognise one set of law, you're more than likely to slip into just recognising the next lot without thinking about it.
Yeah, that's right. And well, why do they think that they're changing everything now, aren't they? Oh, it's a, well, you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to do this other thing. Why do they think they're changing all that? Because they're trying to do it all at speed to confuse you.
Do you think there's any element of them doing it at speed because the game's perhaps running a little out of their hands?
It's running out of their hands really, really fast, I think.
Mm.
You know, and I think the rope's maybe getting a wee bit greasy at the top, you know.
Mm. Well, I mean, it's been said many times by many people wiser than I that you can never hold on to power through coercion and threat of force. It never works.
Can't do it.
And it's worked for a long time for these people.
Well, they've had a good time. They've had a great time. But what the hell have they ever gained out of it? Nothing.
Most of them stand to lose as much as the rest of us, which is pretty much everything.
Well, put it this way, I think they stand to lose more than all the people who were brought up with nothing.
Absolutely right.
Or next to nothing, you know. So they have a lot more to lose than that, you know.
I would imagine they're going to find themselves with a lot less support as well, because I've personally found that levels of support are much greater amongst people. Basically, it seems to be some kind of inverse relationship. The less people have got, the more likely they are to help you.
Yeah, that's right. And let's be honest here, right? Most of the armies that these people use are made up of our sons and daughters, right?
Yeah.
If they are taught the correct way of being things and how things are, how quickly are the armies going to diminish?
It must be taking quite a lot of effort to keep the armies going, what with what happens to people who go and fight with them.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Must be another area, I suppose.
That everything's coming down to the more automatic working, you know what I mean? The Ottoman, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, give them a PlayStation and a drone.
Yeah, that's it. Teach them how to be operators, you know. It's as simple as it. That's what they're doing with it.
That again is just see, I've known that for quite a while, but once you really start thinking about it, that's really spooky, isn't it?
It's really spooky. And let's face it, it is a spooky system, let's face it.
It's too bloody right, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It is spooky, it's frightening. And at the end of the day, where is it you want to be? Do you want to be your own gaffer? And I mean seriously, be your own gaffer? Do you want to be somebody else's tool or a slave? If you want to do that, fine. Mm. Get your place and keep it as long as you can.
And there's the important caveat, isn't it? As long as you can, because it is a matter, as we've touched on a few times in this show, it is a matter now of choosing whether you're going to be a player or a play piece.
Yeah, very, very simple. And that's what it comes down to, right? If you're going to be a slave, be the slave. You've got, what, 30 years? I hope you train your young ones well, because they'll have the same. Mm-hmm. That'll be 20. And that's the way that'll go.
And if our experience is anything to go by, they will have more and more and more stuff taken off them.
Yeah. People are just going and raid them as they like.
Because honestly, that's really changed in my time here. The amount of stuff people have to give various layers of government now compared with the amount of stuff they were giving various layers of government in, say, the early 60s when I was born, it's a massive difference.
Oh, I know that.
And they won't. They're not going to.
See, at the end of the day, right? If you're halfway sensible, right, you know the government cannot do anything. Then you've got to ask yourself, who makes the claim, right? It's like your man Duncan Smith out there, or Cameron out there, and they're sitting there and they're bumping their gums about this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Who is he talking to? Is he talking to the persons? Or is he talking to the people? Well, he came out in his own private capacity and say that.
Yeah, sure.
Never.
No. In fact, I wonder who the hell he's talking to anyway. If everything's being governed from Europe, what are we doing with these 600 people in those expensive places down there? They should be moving them all out, selling them up and turning them into luxury flats. It's what they're doing everywhere else.
That's what they should be doing. That's what they should be doing.
Why are we still voting for people if we're being run by Europe, by non-elected people in Europe at that?
All non-elected.
Mm.
We're the biggest corrupt non-elected machine in the world. The people need to catch on. If they can't account for 95% of their budget right now, how much of their own budget are they not going to be able to get next year?
Yeah.
You know, let's face it. You know, it's a total ripper. That's all it is. And that's all people are... Basically, everybody's going to be in Europe. But now we're all at different stages because nobody wants to tell us how to do it. They want to tell you.
Yeah, nobody can work out what the hell to do with that, I don't think. On one level. On another level, I suspect it's all working very well indeed. Thank you very much.
Yeah. That's exactly what they're doing, though. You know what I mean? But anyway.
I wonder if they've all got their swastikas on their undies nowadays.
Hi.
So, returning to some of Robert's experiences, when he went into the court for his breach of the peace, you remember he got done for abusive and threatening behaviour, didn't he? Which he successfully showed that was an unfair allegation. And when he got there for the second appearance on that one, because he was going to question the policeman, I think, The judge said to him, "How do you plead?" And he said, "Not guilty." And they all got really angry. Why did that happen? I couldn't quite get a handle on that.
No, right. Well, basically, the judge tried to railroad Robert Wright and said to him, "How do you plead?" And Robert said, "I don't plead. I am not guilty." Right?
Yeah.
So that was him. Because if you plead anywhere in the legal system, you're begging.
So what's the difference? So saying I don't plead, I am not guilty, is different from just going not guilty then?
No, no. In the context of Robert was doing it there, Robert had already told him that he was a man.
Yeah.
Not a person.
Excellent, which proves the whole thing, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but the judge kept trying to drag him into the legal realm. You know, so simple as that.
And that keeps going on, doesn't it? They do seem to be easing up on it a little bit with Robert, but it is a game that they play every single bloody time.
When you understand the reasons for it, you understand why, right? They need the body of the man or woman to go in there and answer that name without question, and then that saying they don't need to do anything else. As long as they've accepted the name of the name of that corporation, they can do what they like.
Yeah.
Because they're not dealing with them as men and women.
No, just as persons, as bits of paper, as stock.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. It's funny, actually, in last year's Shakespeare play, I played a character called Master Constable Dogberry, and at one stage he got put in charge of a court, which was a very funny scene. And he kicks off by saying to these two guys he's got in a dock, he says, "What's your name?" And the first one goes, "Baraccio." And he says, Dogberry says, "Write down Baraccio. What's your name?" And the guy says, "My name's Conrad, and I'm a gentleman." And Dogberry says, "Write down Master Gentleman Conrad." And the very next line he says, "Masters, it is proved already that you are little better than worthless knaves." Straight away. So he gets their names off them, and straight away, as far as he's concerned, the job's done. Now, I got a really good laugh for that line every night from the audience, but of course he's speaking the absolute truth. There's several other aspects of the court scene in that were quite entertaining. It's a funny thing about Shakespeare, whoever it was that did that didn't know a lot of stuff, you know.
Oh, I know that. Robert's put in some amount of research in the last 2 years, to be honest with you.
And I guess we haven't seen the half of it actually come to fruition yet, have we?
No. No, not at all. I mean, there's a thing there with Edinburgh camp there. They put a letter in there. I mean, okay, there's a lot of different people there and they're all trying to do their own bit, you know what I mean? But the plan and legislation will never win like that, right? Robert went up for a 1 week, put a letter in to the head of the so-called government up there, right?
Yeah.
The guy Neil Shuckshaw. You know what I mean? He went, "What?" He says, that's the way of the fashion here. These are men and women you're dealing with here. Right? The guy, Neil Shuckshaw, in fact, he's not even replied to him yet.
Robert does seem to get that response quite often, doesn't he? I no response.
Well, I guess it all the time.
Yeah, we've got no idea what to do with this.
Yeah, all the time. They'll never ever come back to them because they can't. Because they're defrauding the public. Because you know that Scottish building up there is under private ownership.
Yeah, I heard that. I'm watching one of his videos. Very expensive it is to rent as well, isn't it? Was it?
Yep. $450 million a year.
That's a hell of a gaff, that. $450 million a year rent.
Aye. Yep.
Which the government's giving to a private corporation.
Aye, but
and it must have been a public building. Is it new? I don't know this place.
It's not new. It was a purpose-built building. Mm-hmm. Right? Part of it, isn't it? Right?
Okay, it'll be part of the deal.
It's a new parliament building, right? Put it that way, right?
It'll be part of the deal to build it then. I really wished I'd kept it, because once...
But the UK government... is also a subsidiary, is also the parent company of the government that's there now, and always has been.
Excellent. Well, my feeling is that, I know we've talked about this in the past, but it's a strengthening feeling with me that actually Scotland is the important beastie, not England.
Well, Scotland has a lot of dark history here, to be honest with you, Nick, right? Really, really, to be honest with you, right? When you take the Irish situation, right, away back, and the Scottish situation from the same time away back, right? There is a secret here that keeps Scotland and Ireland at the forefront of everybody's memory. But there's something there that really sparks something in people, and nobody's got it yet. And I think it's the fact that sovereignty was established here and in Ireland. They don't want to even mention that anywhere here. But it has already been mentioned in the Scottish Parliament by Christine Graham, right?
Yeah.
Now, that was a big message here, but she was so much a liar that she put in a claim to the claim of right and different things, various other acts, right? They were all acting statute. They were never Scottish. And it was the same with the English Parliament, the Welsh Parliament, and the Irish Parliament. They just kept passing stuff that was nothing ever to do with the people. But the sovereignty of the people is still there. It can't be changed.
But only if they don't give it away.
How are they going to give it away?
By consenting to being slaves.
No.
They still are sovereign, no. They just don't know it, I guess.
Oh, no. They can temporarily suspend it.
Okay.
And not give it away, though.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You can't give your sovereignty to anybody. So how the hell is it that everybody is, you got all these common law countries, so-called countries where there's no common law left? No, that's a crock of shit, man. It's not. Where people are, that's where common law lives, man. You know? It's as simple as that. You know, there's a lot of dark things in Scotland and Ireland's history. There really is. You know? And there's a lot of stuff there that I'd love to find out. And you'll know that when Billy Maguire's on, I never miss a story or anything that Billy Maguire, because he's got a secret there, and it's got to come out, man.
There's another single individual who is of unbelievable importance and effects in what he's doing.
Yep. Yeah, you better believe it. For a young age, right up to what he is now, he's putting some fight.
And some of these secrets are going to come to the surface, because let's face it, one of the things that has certainly characterised the last 5 years is that many things that were secret are no longer secret.
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm
worried that's going to happen.
Yeah. And we couldn't have guessed really at the speed at which that was going to progress either, could we?
Aye, that's right. I mean, Ireland myself, right, when they're saying that, oh no, there's no common law here, who the hell's taking their word for anything? Why would you take the word of noted liars? Why would you do that? You know? Why would you take anything that they say to you as gospel? Or so-called gospel? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it certainly gets to the point fairly quickly when so you realise that you've been told so many untruths that it would be unwise to trust any of the rest of it.
You better believe it, man. I mean, you've got to be honest, right? Look at the stories that they made up about Wales itself, right? King Arthur and Barry the Year there and everywhere. Why do you think that all this has only come out here maybe the past 30 years or something, right? Why has that never been there before, right? And what the hell was King Arthur? Because he wasn't any king that I recognised.
I think he was one of Geoffrey of Monmouth's creations, wasn't he?
Well,
and the kings of Britain.
But at the end of the day, who were they?
Well, they were mostly fictional, I think. He made it all up.
Correct. Yeah. They made the whole lot up, so yeah. Who the hell were they?
But
so why the hell are they putting all this in here about all this fiction? You know,
it's a bit like the Jesus myth, isn't it? Somebody just liked the Arthur idea, so a lot of people grabbed it and ran with it.
Aye, it's as simple as that. And it stays in your mind. And that's what they like about it.
And it puts all sorts of useful archetypes in there that distract you from what's actually going on.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think it plays really well for those who are into history or those who feel the need for royals or people to be in charge of them and not responsible for their own lives, you know. Mm.
Or for those who believe that a watery bint distributing swords is still a sound basis for a system of government.
Aye, that's it.
Which is pretty much what's going on.
Oh, that's exactly what that is. You know what I mean? Give us all your guns and we'll give you back as many bullets without the guns as you want. You know? Simple as that. That's what they want.
So what do we make of this last time we heard of Robert being in court? What do we make of the fact that and we've heard of this, but we've heard this before on PIR as well, and I find it one of the most disappointing aspects of the whole thing is the tendency of the buggers to hide important pieces of paper.
Well, they hide the pieces of paper. Why?
Well, because they know they know the pieces of paper are trouble.
Yeah. Also helps to know where these important pieces go. Right. In the cases with kids, mortgages, different things like that. Where people's property or something like that, all that information is never ever in the lower court for any amount of time, because they are all registered to the City of London, and that's where they go to. So when they're stealing your kids, that's when you go and look for their information, because that's what it is.
Is it going on to the markets, is it?
No. It goes into the City of London, because that's where the proof of the fraud is.
Right.
No. You won't find it anywhere else. It's as simple as that. That's where the proof of the fraud is, man, because the City of London is a fraud. Total, outright fraud.
And a planned one as well, I'd say, because it's only looking into that that made me suddenly start thinking that maybe the Fire of London wasn't an accident.
Well, the fire definitely wasn't there.
No. You only have to go and look at what was burned down. Lots of little churches and almshouses and things like that, and they've been replaced by monstrous buildings. I don't know whether people have been down to the city and looked at what was built there.
Aye, that's right, because basically it was theirs anyway, so they just burnt it and then built the new one. So simple as that. I mean, the whole of the old City of London is not away, you know. There's a lot of London that's still underneath that.
Loads, yeah. I think that's true of all cities, actually. The same's true of Rome.
Well, I would say so, eh?
I think I read in an archaeology magazine that you can get a special caving licence to go under Rome, and down there there's not one but several layers of it, including intact Mithras temples to Mithras and things like that.
That's right.
And underneath London there's kind of abandoned tube stations and old churches and Christ knows what else, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right. And I would say Glasgow and a lot of these other cities are the same.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Bloody hell, Glasgow's got some big buildings in it. Ooh. really fierce looking piles of stone.
Well, you better believe it. There's a lot of dangerous stuff round about the docks as well.
Yeah.
I would say dangerous for us, you know what I mean? But, end of the day. It's like, anyway. Doc, I'm sorry, son, but I'm going to have to chuck. I'm waning a lot of wain here.
No, you've done really well, mate. Thank you so much for being there to talk to. And,
hold on.
When you chat with Robert, do give him my respect and my love, and tell him he'd be well welcome on the show. I'd really like to chat to him on Dr. Rock if he's up for it.
Yeah, I will do. That's no problem.
That'd be really good. We look forward to hearing again, because he must have been well busy. I don't think we've heard from him yet this year, have we?
Who's that?
From Robert. On the show,
he was on with me a few weeks ago, but he was only bringing us up to date, you know what I mean? Because he can't. I can't really come in here with stuff that's coming on, that's coming upwards, you know.
No. Well, I always really, really look forward to it. It's a bit like a Dick Barton private agent, isn't it, really?
Okay. Basically, at the end of the day, right, he's beat the social workers, right? He's beat the social workers, he's beat the police, he's beat the coppers, he's beat the court, he's beat everybody.
Mm. And pretty soon, some of it will come home to roost, won't it? Pretty soon he'll see the end of some of these things, because they are stretching out for him.
Yeah, they are stretching out for him. And at the end of the day, he'll be rewarded for it, one way or another, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, really look forward to hearing from him. And as for you, keep up the excellent work on Scotland Is Free, still one of my favourites. And thank you very much for coming back on Dr. Rock, and you're always welcome here too, of course. It's always a real pleasure talking to you.
You're welcome, Doc. Thanks very much, mate.
No problem. I'll see you again soon. You go and get yourself some rest.
I'll do, sir. You'll be good. Be safe.
Hopefully I'll get a chance to see you at least briefly over the next couple of days.
Yeah, no problem, mate. No problem at all.
Excellent, dude. Take care. I'll see you soon.
Cheers, mate.
Night, Pat. So there we go, we were listening there to Pat Valden, and we were talking about the work that's been undertaken over the last several months, in fact probably a couple of years now maybe, by Robert Sproul. I'd really like to get to talk to Robert himself, because he tells a wicked story. It's all, like I say, really amazingly involved as a kind of main plot of him endeavouring to get his sister's children back and restore his and his father's rights in that matter. And you know, there's a van that he had moved that he got arrested for, which became part of an interchange with a bunch of traffic wardens. And it's really amazing to watch him grappling his way through all of this. But it clearly is really, really hard work. It was great to be able to go over a bit of it with Pat. Always good to hear from him. And one of the points that is just really kind of hammering itself home to me after our last 4 years or so, and after all the people I've spoken to and all the things I've listened to on PIR, is that ultimately something has to be done, and really the only people who can do it are we as individuals, really. And in a way, it all seems to me to be quite a just solution, because without a doubt one of the reasons why things are the way they are is because we've taken our eye off the ball, and because an awful lot of responsibility has been sort of shuffled about the place and put in places that aren't perhaps entirely reliable. And so it doesn't seem to me to be unreasonable to come to the conclusion that the only way of sorting all of this out is for people to become responsible for their own actions and responsible for their responses, and to start manifesting that instead of this kind of utterly, utterly crazy Alice in Wonderland dreamscape that we seem to be ever more inhabiting. So I really look forward to hearing more from Robert. I'm obviously going to keep a really close eye on it, as I have done since it all started, and we'll see where we can all go. It's none of this is very easy, but I don't know about the rest of you, but I always find it a really earthing experience listening to Pat when the world seems to be getting so complicated and occasionally really threatening. It's fantastic to listen to a grasp of it which takes it really back to the kind of simple level, back to the kind of level of story that we can understand, comprehend, and at least begin to imagine that we might be able to use these particular tools. And clearly the more of us that do, the better. If nothing else, quite apart from maybe managing to hold on to a few things that are ours which we wouldn't otherwise hold on to, it is a deeply administrative system. It's got all these people sitting behind desks with lots and lots of paper clips and rubber bands and stamps and pens and pencils and stuff. And they need to be kept busy. And it does strike me that if nothing else, one of the benefits of Robert's system is that it's going to keep them well busy. So that's a little bit of a rant from me. I'll come back to you. Oh, mind you, no, look at that. It's 11:42 already. So if I just talk to you for 60 seconds or so more, play a tune, it'll be the end of the show. So the usual, thanks to PIR for being there. Thanks to everybody for being out there. Hi to the Kitchen Posse. Who's in the house today then, Jay? Thanks ever so much again to Pat. Thanks to Laurie for putting me up and hostessing me so well. It's really great to meet Ian and Joan as well. And we've got a bit of a tour of Glasgow over the next 2 or 3 days when I'll be meeting up with several more people. I think especially Saturday night when there's going to be some kind of meeting of disreprobates. So all of that, not sure what I'll be doing next week when I will probably be back down a bit and to the right again, having come up and to the right, and I'll see you all then. In the meantime, thanks to all of you that are there in the chat box, all of you who are out on the stream and not in the chat box, and to all of those of you who I know are listening to the podcast, and I'll see you all next time for something else, and we'll play out with White Punks on Dope by the Tubes. Oh, I almost forgot, coming up, Freeman Jack. God, the scene. Pat distracted me. Sorry, Jack. Jack's coming up at midnight, probably a little after now. I've overcooked it. Damn, I was doing so well. Tonight, Freeman Jack is going to be talking about paradox in the standard model and the illusion of settled science, which sounds like another blinder. Jack's recent shows have been completely awesome. Carry on, Jack. Here's the Tubes, White Punks on Dope. Bye.